What's been making news this week with Edwina Farley? And Edwina, if ever you want to get the emotions flowing, mention live animal exports.
Yes, it is one of those hot button topics. And it's one of those where I think everybody in the rural department breathes a huge sort of harumph each morning when we wake up to the headlines. But this week, Federal Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce told us that images of Australian sheep being killed on roadsides in Jordan are confronting, but he's rejected any call for additional regulation or oversight of the live export trade. ABC TV's Late Line aired footage obtained by animal rights group Animals Australia, which showed sheep being trussed, put in car boots and inhumanely slaughtered outside of approved facilities. Now, the Department of Agriculture has confirmed that at least some of the animals in the footage are Australian and says it is investigating. While none of their treatment in Jordan is allowed under the SCAS welfare system, Mr. Joyce says that system is sufficient.
The unfortunate reality is it's probably the way the vast majority of animals are slaughtered throughout the world, but it is not a form of slaughter that Australians are compliant with. When there's a breach of it, we investigate the breach, just like when someone breaks into a bank, we follow that process. But every time someone breaks into a bank, we don't get another auditor of the police.
Well, the live export industry is trying to sound tough on this one.
It is. The Livestock Exporters Council, which is the peak body representing producers, has previously called for tough penalties on companies found responsible for flagrant breaches of SCAS. Council Chief Executive Alison Penfold says the footage shown is confronting and distressing, and industry is frustrated that incidents like this keep happening.
We need to show our vision for the trade centred around animal welfare. We need to be able to demonstrate actions for people to see that continual improvement in supply chains. And the most critical thing we have to do is earn trust. And sadly, incidents like we've seen represented on TV screens last night certainly do nothing to help us build trust and earn trust with the community.
And there are also claims that vets are being pressured to play down just how crowded the sheep are on the ships.
That's right. A welfare group, Animals Angels, has taken the Department of Agriculture to the Federal Court in Sydney for failing to suspend the licence of Perth-based international livestock exporters back in 2008. The case centres on a vet's claims that his report was edited to show fewer goats died on a voyage to Singapore. Now, the lawyer for Animals Angels, Dr. Malcolm Caulfield, said outside the court that the department had also heard from other vets.
Vets who have vast experience on live export voyages confirmed Dr. Lloyd Reeve-Johnson's allegations of being pressured by exporters not to report adverse events, but also that overstocking is probably routine in this industry.
And the Commonwealth's barristers argued in court that the Department of Agriculture did investigate and found the deaths to be of no consequence. The judge has reserved his decision.
We're going to be looking a little bit later on a Country Breakfast about an alternative to culling wild horses or brumbies, but in the Kimberley, they're finding the best thing to do is to shoot them.
They are. Aerial culls have started on two Indigenous pastoral leases in the central Kimberley in WA. Estimates of feral horse numbers on Lake Gregory and Billiluna stations range from 6,000 to 9,000. Now, the RSPCA supports the aerial cull, and Peter Camp from the WA Pastoralists and Graziers Association says given the remote location, it's the only humane option.
Pretty sure they've gone down the path where they've looked at every other avenue as far as trying to freight those horses through to other markets. Realistically, a lot of it isn't cost effective, and also to the welfare of the animals, transportation. They probably do more damage to them themselves on truck.
Now, it's getting too hot in the kitchen in this rather unholy cheese war, isn't it?
It sure is. And it's one of those that sort of strikes the patient capital line, doesn't it, this investment in food processing. But this week, we've seen more manoeuvres. The Canadian dairy processor Saputo denies it's dumping its takeover bid for Warrnambool Cheese and Butter and instead targeting its rival bidder, Bega Cheese. We also found out this week the ACCC gave approval for the Bega bid for WC WCB. Of course, it's going to be weeks before the Foreign Investment Review Board rules on the Saputo bid. But Chief Executive Lino Saputo was travelling around Victoria this week trying to win WCB shareholders. He flatly denies speculation his company has been buying Bega shares. Mr Saputo isn't concerned the Japanese company Kirin, which owns Lion Foods, has just bought a 10% stake in Warrnambool.
There's a lot of things in this process here that we didn't see coming, to be honest with you, and we're adjusting on a day-to-day basis. I don't feel any threat at all from the Lion bid and or the Murray Goulburn bid or the Bega bid. I think our bid is very compelling. We're looking at 50% control, and I think that is still very possible.
I love the way he mispronounces Bega to Bega. And by the way, Edwina, you have to be corrected here. It is, in fact, Lino Saputo Jr.,
Apologies.
Forgot the junior. Yeah. Now, this is one thing where both state and federal governments have decided they're going to say we want it to be Australian-owned when they can't actually do anything about it, but they can still get the brownie points for saying it.
Well, that's right. It's pretty interesting, though, isn't it, to sort of weigh in on what is otherwise, you know, a commercial endeavour, really. However, this week the Victorian government said it wants an Australian dairy company to win the bidding war and take over Warrnambool Cheese and Butter. Peter Walsh, who's the Agriculture Minister, believes the Competition and Consumer Commission and the Foreign Investment Review Board should consider that a fully Australian merger would be in the dairy industry's best interests.
It would actually be good to see them bulk up into being a powerhouse from a world point of view. 7% of the international dairy trade comes from Victoria out of a number of companies, instead of having that spread across a number of potentially multinationals owning part of it. Let's have be proud about having a real major player here in Victoria.
And Federal Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce also told us he would prefer Warrnambool Cheese and Butter to remain in Australian hands.
Let's go now to the chicken industry, because they've been a rather hefty fine this week for a chicken meat company.
There certainly was. The ACCC handed down a very big fine for misleading consumers, chicken meat companies misleading consumers about how their products are grown and raised. Byeda and Barta, which supply Steggles chicken products, were found guilty in the federal court earlier this year of misleadingly using the term free to roam. ACCC Commissioner Sarah Court says a $400,000 fine imposed this week shows courts take misleading claims in advertising and on packaging very seriously.
We think this is a very serious issue, both for consumers but also for other players in the industry, for their competitors who are doing the right thing and who are making truthful claims, and consumers must be able to compare. So we think this does send a strong message out to the industry.
Who'd have thought sheep shears could be so popular?
It was amazing, wasn't it? And creating headlines at Sotheby's, no less. A set of mechanical shears that belonged to legendary shearer Jackie Howe sold for $38,000 this week. That's well above the reserve price at an auction in Melbourne. The total price, which included the buyer's premium, was about $46,000. They thought they'd get $20,000 for it, so it really is well above. Of course, Jackie Howe is famous for shearing, wait for it, 321 merino sheep in just 7 hours and 40 minutes with blade shears at Alice Down Station in Queensland. That was in 1892, and that record has never been broken.
Many, many years ago when I was in London, I can remember Jacob's Creek claret and being slightly embarrassed that the English thought it was wonderful. But I do agree with this. Their Riesling is nothing to be sniffed at.
And look, you know, I thought it was time, given that we often talk about top shelf wine, to talk about the $7 bottle, which this week took out the trophy for Best Riesling at the Melbourne Wine Awards. The chief winemaker, Bernard Hicken from Jacobs Creek, says the Riesling benefited from an ideal 2012 season in South Australia's Barossa Valley.
We had great late winter and spring rains leading up to the 2012 vintage. And during the summer, we had a warm growing season, but we missed any sort of heat waves, and that is great for making wine and certainly great for making very high quality Riesling.
And I suspect that $7 tag might have just gone up a couple of bucks.
I think so.
Edwina, thank you.